ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On ABC Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. It is time for our weekly look at the world of health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Gordon, you know, every week we talk about the advice you have for people who are working out or exercising or wanting to get better health through moving themselves. I don't think we've ever talked about what happens when you're just watching sport. Now, if you're a couch potato, that's a bad thing. You need to get up and move. But, wow, are you saying that there could be worse effects just by watching sport rather than not exercising?
Well, what I'm saying is potentially that could be the case. Some people will have an improved outlook, improved well-being from watching sport. Others, depending upon how they're behaving, may actually increase their risk for adverse, especially cardiovascular events like heart attack and stroke. So we've got to be careful how we support, but it's a very interesting topic and one I thought that would be interesting for our listeners.
Okay, so the question is watching your team, or maybe let's say a horse race, is watching a horse race when you've got a lot of money riding on it perhaps, and that really means something for that horse to win rather than just if you're watching it out of interest, that maybe if there's a close finish, you're under more chance of suffering a heart attack or something like that than if it's a 10-length win or something like that? Is that what you're saying?
In some people, there will be a link. And you know, maybe the horse racing you've directed towards me for that reason.
Yes, that's true. Because I was thinking also, you know, last week we had that horse Pride of Jenny would have won by 8 to 10 lengths after leading for 30 lengths. Now, at that point, I'm thinking, yeah, my money's pretty safe. But if you're watching, say, Chautauqua win the TJ Smith Stakes, coming from last with 100 to go and winning, I mean, your heart's going to be pumping, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and still does to when I watch it today, that when he won it for the third time.
Unbelievable.
It was spectacular. So, and that you feel the emotions when you're watching an equine athlete like that to just perform at that level and do the extraordinary. You feel that emotional link, and if you notice yourself, it's your heart rate is beating faster. You know, you may be having all those emotional things. And so the question is, if you're looking at those things and feeling that way, can it have a detrimental effect? There is a clear link between those feelings and cardiovascular health. So many, many studies have looked at an emotional stress as a trigger for things like heart attack and stroke. And, you know, in our own lives, we've been touched in different ways where emotional stresses have affected people in different ways and may have led to those events. But from a population level, you know, if you think about situations like war or terror attacks, earthquakes where there's an emotional stress where it's shared by the population, the incidence of cardiovascular events actually increases. So, you know, the question is from that level, they're very serious things, and you think, well, is sport that serious? Are football spectators exposed to an increased risk of cardiovascular events? And I think it's quite controversial, and the research in its way contributes to that because it's not entirely conclusive, and the findings may differ depending upon the country being studied, the sport being studied. Often it's a code of football, whether the spectators are male or female. And I think in most cases, men seem to be more susceptible to these adverse events watching sports compared to women. I think women perhaps are too sensible to get so worked up as something as trivial, perhaps, as a game of football. Dare I say that?
Oh, I don't think you can say that, Gordon.
No. But many people, and men and women, they take it to sport very seriously. And as you say, football is one of those things. They take it extremely seriously. The example I give is Bill Shankly, who is a famous Scottish footballer and manager. He was the manager of Liverpool from the late 50s to early 70s. And he described the significance of professional association football, you know, soccer, this way. He said, "Some people believe football is a matter of life and death. I'm very disappointed with that attitude. I can assure you that it is much more important than that."
Yeah, one of the most famous quotes. But, you know, Liverpool's an interesting example because in the 1970s and into the 1980s, they won the First Division, as it was known then, many times. So were their fans less likely to suffer heart problems than perhaps a team that might be looking at relegation, and every match is, you know, on tenterhooks. Will they win those points? Will they be relegated? And then you're down in second division. Or if you're up the top, are you forever worried that you won't win again? Now, I think also of something like the All Blacks. Now, the All Blacks win all the time. So when they lose, that's more devastating, perhaps, to their fans. I remember at the Netball World Cup last year, when Australia won, and Australia have won like 12 Netball World Cups in a row, you know, they were saying you don't want to be the coach that loses a World Cup because Australia are expected to win. So Australian fans, you know, might go into a Netball World Cup thinking, well, we're going to win, but losing could be more devastating than a team from Trinidad and Tobago, for example, who go in not expecting to win.
Yeah, and what you've touched on there is actually borne out by the research. So if we go back to 2003, there was an English study that examined whether football or soccer results the results from those events were associated with mortality from circulatory diseases, so heart attack and stroke. And like all topics, you know, related to this, they're looking at hospital records for those periods during the football season, so you can track when the local team is lost at home or those sorts of things. So they found on those days when the local team was losing, there was an increased risk of heart attack and stroke in men, but not women. There was a German study that was published in 2008 in the New England Journal of Medicine, so a very prestigious journal, and they were looking at cardiovascular events during the 2006 World Cup. And they found that on the days involving the German team, cardiac emergencies were three times higher in men and nearly two times higher in women. The most stressful period is when those events, when they were more likely to occur, is during the first 2 hours at the beginning of each match. So the game starts and then that 2 hour period. So they concluded that, you know, viewing a stressful soccer match more than doubled the risk of a cardiovascular event in men who already had the disease. So they may be susceptible. You know, when we talk about this susceptibility, it's not supported by all those studies. So there was an Austrian study back in 2013. It was in the International Journal of Cardiology. And they found that soccer, you know, watching soccer wasn't associated with an increase in cardiac events, and that the spectators weren't greater at risk. And there was a French study next year, 2014, that watching European football competitions actually had a positive effect. So in the city of Dijon, the incidence of stroke actually decreased. So they attributed this positive outcome to the long-lasting euphoria after the victory. The most recent study, and this is a study by Japanese researchers, it was published just a couple of weeks ago. They monitored the brain activity of a small study. 14 participants while they were watching sports clips of baseball and soccer. And what they did after monitoring all that brain activity, they concluded that regular sports viewing activated brain reward circuits that led to improved well-being. So we've got mixed messages here, and I think comparing these studies is very difficult. It's sort of unsurprising we may get these messages because there's different conditions that we're comparing across countries and so on. But I think very interesting that in many cases where we've got these stressful events, it can be linked with adverse cardiovascular outcomes.
I don't think so. Gordon Lynch is our guest. So we talk health and fitness and the very strange topic this morning, perhaps. So if there are all those conflicting and competing results, maybe that shows that it doesn't have an effect. The one in Germany was interesting. 2006, of course, they're hosting the World Cup, and hosts have a great record in the World Cup. Germany hadn't won it for a little while, so maybe they thought they were going to win. As it turned out, they didn't win. They won it a couple of World Cups later, and they thrashed Brazil. Now, I wonder whether the people in Latin American countries, are they more likely to have heart problems because of what happens with their local football team? We know that they take their sport very, very seriously.
Well, what about if we consider a little bit closer to home? So the Medical Journal of Australia, this was some time ago, 2006, it was a sort of a tongue-in-cheek article, but it concluded that Australians seem to be resistant to the acute stresses associated with watching sports events. And they examined cardiovascular-related events in New South Wales during two sporting finals. One was the 2005 AFL Grand Final between Sydney Swans and West Coast Eagles. That was one of the closest finals ever, and it was won by Sydney. And the other was the 2005 World Cup qualifying final between Australia and Uruguay, which went to a penalty shootout, and Australia won that. And for both events, the television viewing audience in Sydney, based upon the ratings that they got, was close to a million people for each game. And for both of those games, the researchers found no increased cardiovascular risk either on the day of the matches or in the 2 days after them. And so they concluded, quite tongue-in-cheek, that one explanation for the lack of adverse events was that Aussie viewers were protected because of their exposure to so many sporting telecasts, with frequent television channel surfing between these events and transitional blurring induced by alcohol consumption and large comfortable chairs.
Oh, come on. I think that there's another thing that they need to take into account, and that is that we don't expect to win in a men's football or soccer match. Now, we might these days with women, and I would love to see the results of a study on what happened with the Women's World Cup last year, and especially in that penalty shootout against France, I think it was, where a lot was riding on it. And maybe there were some heart problems. But when it comes to men's football, we don't expect to win, so maybe we're more relaxed.
Maybe. These researchers, the Australian researchers, suggested that adverse health effects from stressful sporting events, it seems to be confined to the supporters of the losing teams, and Australia just has to keep winning, of course. So unlike other countries, Australia dilutes this population risk by spreading the national interest, the sporting interest, across four codes of football with multiple choices for following. So despite the sort of humour and the tongue-in-cheek aspect of this, the fact is that some people have unhealthy responses to watching their teams play. And so if they experience those sorts of effects while watching sporting teams, it's likely that they're feeling the same way during other stressful situations in their lives. So the serious aspect of this is that you need to mitigate these risks. And so you need to have your health checked by your doctor, and you can need to keep tabs on your blood pressure. You need to monitor your weight and your diet. And of course, as we recommend on this show every week, it's about regular physical activity, helping from a lifestyle perspective. If that's still not working, then your medical specialist can put you on very powerful medications that can get your blood pressure into the more healthy zone, because sometimes you need to have that. So I think there's a serious aspect to that from a general health perspective. It's not just about watching sports, it's how we may react to different stressful situations in our lives.
So what recommendations do you have? What can we do about it?
Yeah, look, I think if we just, based on the current evidence, I think we can say we can enjoy being a spectator and watching your favourite sports, but the advice would be try and be sensible and avoid the angry outbursts, because it's much better for your cardiovascular health to be actually participating in those sporting events as an athlete, but rather than a fan. But if you're a half-hearted spectator, it may be better for your cardiovascular health than being a fanatic. We talk about listening to our body. It's really important for the cardiovascular health to listen to your body. If something doesn't feel quite right, get checked by your doctor before it's too late. Keep watching the sports, keep enjoying it. There may be a beneficial effect for outlook in terms of our improving our well-being for many people. For those that maybe be a little bit too fanatical in their approach, be careful, because you can be placing your body at a higher risk for these cardiovascular events.
But you can't control that, surely. You really want your team to win quite often. You really want that team they're playing to lose because you hate them.
I'm saying this as I would say when I'm watching my team, AFL team Carlton, play another team. I feel my heart rate. I think, this is not good.
Yeah.
I just need to calm down, because you just get so emotionally involved in your team's performance and you can't do anything about it.
No, and when I'm watching at home, and my team, I got a couple of them, obviously. It could be Australia, could be a local team. And it's close, and we're getting to the end of the game, and they're ahead, because, you know, time goes slower when they're ahead compared with when they're behind. Someone should do a study on that, scientific study about time ticking away slower in the last 5 minutes if you're ahead compared with when you're behind. I can't sit down. I have to get up and walk around. I cannot remain seated. I have to do something. What can I do?
I think just getting up and moving around is a good start. But I think the breathing and other things that come into that, how we might control this. So I'm trying to give this link between sports watching and general life stresses, because we're placed under those stressful situations in different parts of the day, if we're driving, if we're doing other things, and we need to de-escalate that situation, because the stresses are obviously having that effect on our bodies, you know, our physiology. So yes, the sporting aspect is one thing, but I think, Rod, what you're mentioning is getting up, moving around, doing the breathing exercise, and so on. You need to try and get in that healthier zone, because it's not a good feeling. And when the stakes, when you weigh it up after the event, it's just during the moment, it's quite stressful, and it does have an impact, and we need to be careful.
And I think good advice is do not bet on sport. Sure, have the occasional once a year bet in the Melbourne Cup where it doesn't matter. But if it really matters whether you need that money, you should not be betting on sport for financial as well as health reasons. Because there's an old saying, don't ever bet on anything that can talk. Gordon Lynch, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.